You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Today is Thursday, August 8th. We're talking about a massive immigration raid and why Puerto Rico now has its third governor in a week. Plus, which tea company is getting into weed, Samsung's new smartphones, and what might be making Netflix nervous. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Federal agents just arrested nearly 700 undocumented immigrants in what the AP says is the largest workplace sting in at least a decade. About 600 U.S. immigration officials were involved. They raided several chicken processing plants in Mississippi yesterday and arrested mostly Latino workers. The Hill reports this was part of a year-long investigation. A federal prosecutor called it the largest immigration enforcement within just one state in the nation's history. Fox News quotes that prosecutor, saying it's about enforcing the law in Mississippi and throughout the country. But the raids are also facing some criticism. Immigrant advocates say these raids are terrorizing communities and separating families during a week the country needs unity and healing, of course referring to the aftermath of the recent mass shootings. President Trump visited both El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio yesterday. He met with first responders and survivors of the mass shootings in both of those communities. But while he was there, he did face some protests and calls for tougher gun laws. NBC News reports in Dayton, hundreds of protesters gathered outside of the hospital, chanting things like, "Ban those guns," and "Do something." In El Paso, there were even some fights between Trump's critics protesting and Trump's supporters. Both showed up at a makeshift memorial near the Walmart where the shooting happened, and police had to get involved. President Trump took to Twitter to push back against his critics, including some leaders in Ohio. Puerto Rico officially has a new governor now. Justice Secretary Wanda Vasquez was just sworn in as the island's newest leader, becoming the third governor there in less than a week. Yep, there's been some drama. Remember, the former governor Ricardo Rossello resigned last Friday in response to massive protests. He had appointed someone else, Pedro Pierluisi, as Secretary of State, so that guy would then become the next in line to take over. But Puerto Rico's Congress did not all agree that Pierluisi should be governor and never fully gave him the thumbs up. So now Puerto Rico's Supreme Court ruled that's unconstitutional for him to be in charge without lawmakers' full approval. And so that means next in line for governor was Wanda Vasquez. She originally said she did not want the job, but now she says she's okay with it, that it's time for some stability. Three central banks around the world have cut interest rates this week. The Wall Street Journal reports India, New Zealand, and Thailand have cut rates so far, and by more than expected. And some experts say Australia could be next. The reason for this? Remember, lower interest rates means it's cheaper to borrow money and encourages more people to spend, which can give the economy a boost. So this is a way for those countries to try and protect themselves from the fallout of global trade tensions. As in the trade war between the U.S. and China. They're the world's two largest economies, so they impact other countries around the world. And things have recently gotten more tense. President Trump said he plans to add more tariffs next month on Chinese goods coming into the U.S. And when China's currency then weakened, Trump declared China is a currency manipulator, although not everyone agrees. CNBC says global long-term interest rates are now at historically low levels to try and deal with this situation. It'll be one of the first big American brands to enter the marijuana market. The company behind Arizona Iced Tea is getting into weed. Business Insider reports Arizona is teaming up with Dixie Brands, a company that sells and makes cannabis products. So Dixie would make and distribute the products with Arizona's name on them. They'll make things like vape pens and marijuana-infused gummies and drinks. The Wall Street Journal calls this move risky. Remember, marijuana is still illegal at the federal level, meaning it cannot be transported across state lines. Plus, many banks won't take money from cannabis sales. Either way, recreational and medical marijuana is legal in several states, so products will likely be made and sold in those states. Though it's not clear when these will be available, the new line is still in the early stages. We still have much more news coming up, but let's take a quick break to thank this week's sponsor, MM LaFleur. This is a company that is all about clothing that will help make your life easier. So if you don't have a lot of time, you can scratch the dry cleaners and tailor off your list. MM LaFleur offers machine washable fabrics, adjustable hems, deep pockets, and travelers, you'll like this one, suits that are designed to be packable. And each item is meant to help you wear it several different ways. The high-waisted black skirt they sent me can look great with so many different tops. So whether you need an everyday work outfit or some specific items for a business trip, check out MM LaFleur. And I do want to clarify from past episodes that there's no longer surveys and boxes, but you can still reach out to their expert stylists for advice about your ideal work wardrobe. And right now, new customers can get $25 toward their first purchase with the code NEWSWORTHY. Just visit mmlafleur.com/newsworthy for all the details and to redeem this gift. That's mmlafleur.com/newsworthy. And you can also find that link in today's show notes. All right, now back to the news. Two new smartphones from Samsung announced this week. There's now the Galaxy Note 10 and Note 10 Plus. Of course, the Plus is a little bigger. CNET says both phones come with a better battery, wireless charging, and three cameras. And the Plus actually has a fourth camera that will let you 3D scan things. One of the biggest changes is the headphone jack. Yeah, it won't be there anymore. USB-C headphones will come included that work with the phone. But if you want that adapter for your other headphones to work, it'll cost you extra. You can pre-order the phones now, and they'll ship later this month. Each phone will cost about $1,000. And technically, there's a third version of the Galaxy Note 10 called the Note 10 5G. The Verge says it's basically a modified version of the Note 10 Plus, but it will run on the faster 5G network when it's available. By the way, Samsung also made a new S Pen that can use Bluetooth to connect to your other devices and will even let you swipe through screens from afar. There's also an Under Armour edition Galaxy Watch and a new Galaxy-branded laptop. So if you think Amazon's voice assistant Alexa talks too fast or too slow, you can now tell the voice to change its ways. Engadget says you can choose from 7 different talking speeds. There are 2 slower speeds, 4 that are faster, and of course the default speed. It's part of a new accessibility feature. For example, asking Alexa to slow down could help people who are hard of hearing. No matter the reason, you can request to change Alexa's talking speed by simply saying, "Alexa, speak slower or faster." The feature is available in the US now. So this might make Netflix a little nervous. Disney's upcoming streaming service will apparently bundle a bunch of channels for the same price as Netflix's most popular plan. Vox says Disney will offer a bundle package for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus for about $13 a month. With that, users will get access to Disney's entire film and TV catalog, the entire Marvel Studios library, and every Star Wars movie, plus college and professional sports games, and the ad-supported version of Hulu. The new Disney Plus and those bundle options are set to launch November 12th. The 2019 Emmy Awards will not have a host this year. The reason? The Television Academy says it plans on honoring several shows at the awards, like Game of Thrones, and a host and an opening number could take time away from that, so they're skipping it. Deadline reports this is now the fourth time the Emmys will not have a host since it started, and this year it may be taking a cue from the Oscars. The Academy Awards also went hostless this year after a controversy with comedian Kevin Hart. The Emmys are set for September 22nd. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. Today, we're talking about the potential indirect impact of mass shootings, meaning how some people who weren't there can still feel fear or anxiety, and what to do about it. Also, what to say to any children in your life who may have questions, and a warning from mental health professionals about the way we talk about the shooters. So here's my conversation with licensed psychotherapist Tristan Cooper-Smith. Hi, Tristan. Welcome to the Newsworthy.
Thank you.
So I want to start with how mass shootings and other tragic news stories that we hear can affect people who are not even at these events and are not directly impacted.
Absolutely. You know, at the basis of this, people are people, and we're bound together by this basic common bond. Just the simple fact that we are all human beings coexisting in the same world, we can literally feel the pain of others' pain. You know, furthermore, when we see regular people doing regular things, but then there's this irregular outcome, our sense of security and safety can be really fractured. So we can feel rattled, particularly when the brain identifies a specific common bond, such as, oh, wow, like the victims and I, we both shop at Walmart. You know, this can spark the part of the brain, the amygdala, which houses emotions of fear and anxiety. And when we experience fear and anxiety, particularly for an extended period of time or repeated with, you know, mass shooting after mass shooting, we can revert to a more primal way of being and then overgeneralize a situation, which will create this illusion of protection. So in the real world, what does that mean? It means that we may decide, I am never going to Walmart or a concert or a movie theater again.
So what is your advice about how to deal with those feelings of fear? I mean, it's not realistic for us never to go to a store or a movie theater or any of those places.
Yeah, I mean, I think we start with feeling the feels and simply giving ourselves permission to feel whatever is showing up. You know, that in and of itself can be therapeutic. So by talking to somebody or even journaling. All that said, I think it's really important to limit exposure. And one of my favorite things about the newsworthy is that it keeps us informed without overwhelming us. Because what we do know is that prolonged and repeated exposure to the same information that is dysregulating can keep us stuck in a feelings loop and then exacerbate the traumatic symptomology. So it's good to be informed, but we don't need to be obsessive. So I encourage listeners to be really mindful about, well, how much am I ingesting of the news, you know, of social media about this, and being really conscious of noting how it's being absorbed. You know, is it helpful to have more information? Is it harmful to have more information? I also think that joining community events can be really helpful for people. You know, vigils can be very healing. It allows us to commune in a shared experience of grief and allows us to let families of victims know that, you know what, we see you, we feel you, and what you're going through really matters.
And I think we saw that in the communities that were impacted when people stood in line for hours to donate blood so that they could come together and at least do something.
Yeah, I think the doing can feel very empowering. And especially when it comes to how to work with your kids.
Do you have any advice for parents who are listening, whose kids come home from school and have heard about the mass shootings and have questions about it?
I think one of the most responsible and generous things a parent can do is to process their own emotions privately. So if you're having strong feelings about this in front of your kids, the kids can get really flooded. And that means for them, they might not share their feelings because they don't think there's any space. So this doesn't mean that we can't share our feelings with our kids. We also want to be really great emotional guides for them on having these kind of feelings are appropriate. But we just want sort of our light to lead the way and to make space. So number one, I recommend to sort of de-escalate your own reactions to make space for theirs. And then take some time to come up with a simple delivery of what happened, you know, to ask them, what do you know? And then to say something like, you know what, an angry person made a really bad and sad choice to hurt people. You know, very sort of truthful and basic without adding any details and definitely leaving out any imagery. Imagery is much scarier to kids than words. Because they'll keep repeating that in their mind, that imagery. So you really want to keep them off of screens, the news, and make space for open dialogue. You know, by nature, kids are so curious. They have questions, and having an open dialogue can actually make them feel a lot less scared, a lot more at ease. And oftentimes parents will ask, well, what if I don't know the answers? Like, I don't know why this happened. It's perfectly okay to respond, it's a really good question. I'm wondering the same thing. You know, I wish I knew the answer. So ultimately, to support our children through confusion and grief, we just need to be space holders for them. You know, we just need to provide a container for listening and validating their emotions, whatever those are. And we don't need to fix it. We just don't want to brush their feelings off because it's normal to feel those kinds of feelings in times like these. And the last piece about kids really is being mindful that not all kids, especially depending on age, can identify their emotions or communicate their feelings right away or even in words. So it's a really good time for parents to pay attention to their behaviors and notice, do kids seem off to you? Are they maybe procrastinating going to school in the morning because they're scared? You know, and ask them what they need, you know, particularly if they don't feel safe. You can work out a safety plan so that maybe they do feel more in charge of their experience. And of course, we can't have this conversation without talking about Mr. Rogers, because he comes up every time, but it's so important, you know, when he said, and I think it was his mother's advice, when you see scary things, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. And this is opens the conversations about what kids can do, because kids really bank on their parents for their safe space. And when the world doesn't feel safe, they need to kind of come back to that center of security, which is just a basic need for them. So to re-empower them, you know, you work with your kids on something they can do, like can they bake cookies for first responders? Can they send love notes to the families of victims? You know, can they wear jerseys of their favorite Ohio and Texas teams to show solidarity? Can they accompany you to donate blood? You know, all of those kinds of helping actions can restore and rebalance their sense that the world actually really is a good place.
I love that. So without getting too political, because I think that's a whole nother conversation, but there's always talk about mental illness and mental health after mass shootings. So I would love to hear your thoughts. And also, is there a consensus among mental health professionals about this topic and about this reaction to mass shootings?
I mean, of course, psychological disorders can play a role in tragedies like these, but we need to be really cautious about making broad generalizations and assumptions. Otherwise, we run the risk of stereotyping those with mental illness and feeling stigmas that as a society, I would say all therapists are working really hard to break down so that those in need feel supported in getting help. So mental illness simply cannot be a scapegoat for all gun violence because it's just not always the catalyst. In fact, in most studies, we learn that only a small fraction of mass shooters actually have a mental illness and that their motivation is outside of that.
Any final thoughts and things that you want to leave the audience with today?
I would love listeners to leave with the idea that wherever you're at with this, however you're feeling or your children are feeling or your tribe is feeling, is exactly where it is that you need to be. And that the best thing that we can do for ourselves in times like this are just to give ourselves the chance to feel the feelings and to communicate them to someone else, to have that sort of shared experience.
And you can read more about this topic in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and then look for today's date. That's also where you'll find all the sources and links to stories we mentioned on this episode. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday, so we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.